read this morning some verses from Scripture from Luke chapter 1. We'll be reading from the prophecy of Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 67. Please continue to pray for us. The Lord has got our mind upon several branches of this subject. And if I start reading in verse 67 of Luke chapter 1, the Word of God says, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." I read all those verses of Scripture to set the stage of what exactly is contained in here, but it's the last part of that verse 74 that our minds are on this morning, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Without fear. These are the words, again, of one named Zechariah. Zechariah was the daddy of John the Baptist. And if we have read or are familiar with the beginning of the book of Luke, we know that Zechariah had discovered that his wife, Elizabeth, who was up in age, had become with child. And when Zechariah did not believe in the words of the Lord, whenever he told him that his wife was with child, he said, "You should be dumb," in other words, mute, "until the child is born." And when the child was born, these were the words of the prophet Zechariah that I just read you. This is what he spoke to those people there in the that were gathered around him. And the Lord saw fit to record it for us to read now, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Now, it's real easy when you read the Word of God to become disoriented about what exactly that statement means, because as I hope to go through this morning, many examples, fearing God is not a bad thing. There should be a fear of God within you this morning. There should be a fear of God. There should be a fear of God, and we should preach a fear of God, and we should let the windows up on this church, and we should blow the trumpet just as loud as we can out in this world today. There should be a fear of God in the hearts of His people. The words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said that thou shalt fear thy God and serve Him. That's God's word. He said that thou shalt fear thy God and serve Him. He said again in Deuteronomy chapter 13, these are the words of Moses, the inspired word of God. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 13, he said, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments." Fear God. But yet Zechariah says that we shall serve Him without fear. You think Zechariah was off on a tangent that he shouldn't have been on? That maybe these just weren't the words of God? Now, if you want to listen to the conventional wisdom of this world and say that there's some parts of the Word of God that butts heads with others, then you might believe that. But I think that this is something that we need to rightly divide on. We need to find out what exactly the Lord is telling us. Should we be gathered here worshiping Him without fear this morning, but at the same time, fearing Him? Because I hope by the time we get to the end today, you'll find out that that statement is true. That we should be gathered here this morning worshiping Him without fear, but at the same time, fearing Him. Whoa, how are you going to do both of those at the same time? The words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 13, what is the context that he tells that group there? He tells them to beware of the false prophets and dreamers. If we would go back to Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1, he tells them to beware of the false prophets and the dreamers that come upon you and that would teach you to go and follow another god and not follow after the Lord thy God. And he said, if any of those come among you, drive them out. Don't listen to their message. Is that message only delivered to the Israelites back during that day? No, the same message applies to us today. If there be any that come unto you and say, follow another God, not follow thy God, follow the gods of society, follow the God that teaches love, love, nothing but love, 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 love. It doesn't matter if you're a man, you want to live with another man and love him. All the Lord's interested in is that you love somebody. That's the message of the world today. And when somebody tells you that, they want you to follow that God. But Moses, just as Moses told those people of Israel there in that time, drive out that doctrine among you. Don't believe it. Do not believe it. Serve the Lord thy God. Walk after the Lord thy God and fear Him and keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. That is a message just as clear today to the New Testament church as it was to the Israelites back then. Don't worship your children. People are quick to make you form idols out of your children. And if somebody come among you and teach you that you should worship your children as opposed to the Lord thy God, drive that thought from your mind. It exists in the world today. And sometimes we, as the Lord's church, sometimes we may become too focused on what we need to do to keep the children in the church. And I tell you what we need to do is we need to include the children and the adults and everybody else alike and worry about the Lord meeting us here, not necessarily worry about what we need to do to entertain the kids. You can turn your kids into an idol. You can worship them. And the Lord says, if those thoughts come among you, drive them out. Walk after the Lord thy God and fear Him and keep His commandments. And as a matter of fact, the words of Solomon, there you have the words of Moses, the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And he said, and this is the sum. He said, and this is the, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. And this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That's easy. You know, that's easy to say. And if you put it in the context that here we have Moses, a wise man named Moses. Here we have Solomon, a wise man named Solomon. Both of those just pin those two words for us to read. Fear God. But Zechariah said that we should serve Him without fear. But God's Word says that we should fear Him. That we should fear God. Fear God and keep His commandments. And this is the whole duty of man. What is the context in Ecclesiastes chapter 12? If we were to turn back and pick up there, Ecclesiastes, I don't know if your Bible's there in your pew or at home, say the same thing, but mine is beginning in the book of Ecclesiastes. It says Ecclesiastes, or the preacher, or the preacher. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the Word of God in verse 10 says, the preacher sought to find acceptable words. The preacher seeks every Sunday to find acceptable words. I can guarantee you, sometimes those don't always come across, but I can guarantee you that I'm not the only one here today who can confirm that the preacher seeks to find acceptable words every Sunday. Sometimes they come across a little hard, and I don't apologize for it if it's the truth, but I pray that you know that it's in love every time the preacher seeks to find acceptable words, because I want you to understand what I'm trying to tell you. One of the things that I would hate to know is that you're not understanding anything I'm telling you. So the preacher seeks to find acceptable words, and the words that were written were upright, even the words of truth. The words that were written. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Holy Word of God. The words that were written were was upright, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly. You have a goad, and you have a comparison to goads and nails. The nails being the foundation that upholds the masters of assemblies. What you have there is you have the nails. You have the foundational doctrines of the Bible. You have the foundational teachings of total depravity, of unconditional election, of the truth in God's Word. That is the foundation of God's Word. That is the nails. That is what you build on. If you don't build it, this, and a good example of nails is there's nails that are holding this floor joist in that I'm standing on that allows me to jump. And I don't know how long this floor has been here, and I probably ought not to jump on it that much. You know, some of these floors in churches, you have to be careful. The church I was raised in was being held up by carpet at one point in time. As a matter of fact, my sister got married in that church, and there's about 300 people in there. And a year later, the termite adjuster came out and fell through the floor. A year later, it was doing nothing. The carpet was holding up the floor on that old building. They put in ductwork underneath it years ago and dug a big trench under there, and they ran the ductwork and didn't cover it back up, so the soil touched the bottom of the joist, and the termites ate the bottom of the floor out of there. So there was no foundation there to hold anything up. So we have to be careful. But you know that the nails of the assemblies, the nails of the master's assembly, are the foundational truth in God's Word. It's what you said from the pulpit. It's what you teach and preach and believe, and you build on it. And what are the goads? Because the goad is what you use to prod a cow, to make them go, or any sort of livestock, if you've ever seen one of those. That was a prized possession in my daddy's office, was his